ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
What are you going to do? Just gets left like that. Just gets left like that. Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 23. Samparete pituri navabhrataro meru dehitriyur Meru devim prati rupam ugradam stream latam ramyam shamam narim padram devabitin iti sangya nabodavaham. Samparete pitari, after the departure of their father. Nava, nine. Prataraha, brothers. Meru Duhitrihi, the daughters of Meru. Meru Devim, Meru Devi. Pratirupam, Pratirupa. Ugradam stream, Ugradam stream. Latam, Tata, Ramyam, Ramya, Shamam, Shama, Narim, Nari, Padram, Padra, Devavitim, Devaviti, Iti, thus, Sangyaha, the names. Nava, nine. Buddhavahan, married. After the departure of their father, the nine brothers married the nine daughters of Meru, named Meru Devi, Pratirupa, Ugradanstri, Lata, Ramya, Shama, Nari, Padra, and Devaviti. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra. Chapter 3, Rishabhdev's appearance in the womb of Meru Devi, the wife of King Nabi. In this chapter, the spotless character of King Nabi, the oldest son of Agnidra, is described. Wanting to have sons, Maharaj Nabi underwent severe austerities and penances. He performed many sacrifices along with his wife and worshipped Lord Vishnu, master of all sacrifices. Being very kind to his devotees, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was very pleased with the austerities of Maharaj Nabi. He personally appeared before the king in his four-handed feature, and the priests who were performing the sacrifices began to offer their prayers unto him. They prayed for a son like the Lord, and Lord Vishnu agreed to take birth in the womb of Meru Devi, the wife of King Nabi, and incarnate as King Rishabhdev. Sri Shuku Vacha, Nabhir Apachakamo Prajaya, Merudevya Bhagavantam Yagya Purusham, Avahitat Maya Chata. Shukadeva Goswami continued to speak. Maharaj Nabhi, the son of Agnidra, Maharaj Nabhi, the son of King Agnidra, wished to have sons, and therefore he attentively began to offer prayers and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the master and enjoyer of all sacrifices. Maharaj Nabhi's wife, Meru Devi, who had not given birth to any children at that time, also worshipped Lord Vishnu along with her husband. Tasyaha Vava Shraddhaya Vishuddha Bhavena Vyajata Pravargyeshu Pracharatsu Dravyadesha Kala Mancharadvig Dakshina Vidhana Yoga Patya Giradigamopi Bhagavan Bhagavata Vatsalyataya Supratika Atmanam Aparajitam Nija Janabi Pretartha Vidhitsaya Grihitaya Hridayo Hridayangamam Mano Nayanandana Vaya Vabhi Ramam Abhishchakar. In the performance of a sacrifice, there are seven transcendental means to obtain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. One, by sacrificing valuable things or eatables. Two, by acting in terms of place. Three, by acting in terms of time. Four, by offering hymns. Five, by going through the priest. Six, by offering gifts to the priest. And seven, by observing the regular principles. However, however, one cannot always obtain the Supreme Lord through this paraphernalia. Nonetheless, the Lord is affectionate to his devotee. Therefore, when Maharaj Nabhi, who was a devotee, worshipped and offered prayers to the Lord with great faith and devotion, and with a pure, uncontaminated mind, superficially performing some yajna in the line of Pravargya, the kind and supreme personality of Godhead, due to his affection for his devotees, appeared before King Nabhi in his unconquerable and captivating form with four hands. In this way, to fulfill the desire of his devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested himself in his beautiful body before his devotee. This body pleases the mind and eyes of the devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said Bhaktya mam abhijanati amanyas chasmi tatvata tato mam tatvato gyatva visite tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. One can understand and see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of devotional service and not in any other way. Although Maharaj Nabhi performed prescribed duties and sacrifices, it should still be considered that the Lord appeared before him not due to his sacrifices, but because of his devotional service. It was for this reason that the Lord agreed to appear before him in his beautiful bodily features. As stated in Brahma Samhita, the Supreme Lord in his original nature is very beautiful. Venam kanvantam avinda dalaya taksham arhavatam samasitam buddhisundalankam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, although blackish, is very, very beautiful. Om agana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakantatam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Rukakadele Gopesha Gopika Kanta Gata Kanta Namostite Tavda Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhobhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we've read about various descendants of Maharaj Agnidra, sons of Maharaj Agnidra, and we've come to his son, King Nabhi, who performed a sacrifice to get a son. And the Personality of Godhead himself agreed to appear as the son of Maharaj Nabhi on account of his devotional service. There are various methods or aspects of sacrifice that are mentioned here by which one can hope to achieve the result of the sacrifice. But they're not always successful. And here it's indicated that what succeeded was the Lord, was King Nabhi's devotion to the Lord. The Lord is bhakta vatsal. He is very much inclined to his devotees, and he reciprocates the love of his devotees. yayata mam prapajyante tam stataya vabhajamya. Krishna reciprocates. Bhaktya mam abhijana ti yavam yas jasmi tatvata. The Lord can be understood only by devotional service, which is the internal potency of the Lord. That's what's pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is not so much pleased by this offering or that offering, or that you've got this paraphernalia or that paraphernalia, that you've followed the rules for this or the rules for that. That's all well and good. But the real thing is one's devotional service. Without devotional service, the Lord is not interested. And with devotional service, he'll accept even the most humble offering. When Lord Krishna went to Hastinapur, he was invited by Duryodhana for taking his meal. But although Duryodhana was the king and was able to offer a grand feast, Krishna rejected or turned down the invitation. He wasn't interested. Instead, he went to take very simple things at the home of Vidura, because Vidura was a devotee of the Lord. So that's patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya priyachchati tadaham bhaktyu paratam ashnami paratam. When we offer to Krishna, Krishna will accept even simple fruits or even a flower or water, a leaf. Bhaktya, when it's offered with devotion, the main ingredient is our devotion to the Lord. In the deity worship, this is the most important ingredient. We may have this paraphernalia, that paraphernalia, that's very good, whatever we can arrange. We shouldn't hold back, not that we have all facility, but we don't offer Krishna more than a leaf and a glass of water. As far as possible, the nicest items in every category should be offered to Krishna. But whatever we offer, the most important ingredient is our devotion for the Lord. That's what the Lord is actually interested in. Prabhupada gave the example that sitting at the dinner table, the child offers the father, do you like to take a little of this cake? This cake is very good. And the father says, oh, is it good? Let me try. So the father is accepting the cake from the son. Actually, the father bought the cake. It's his hard work that went into getting the money and everything so that the cake could be there. And he's a big man. He doesn't need a little piece of cake. What will a piece of cake do for him? But out of love, the child is offering, would you like to have a little of this cake? And the father is accepting, yes, it looks very good. Out of love, this is Krishna's business. His interest is in loving dealings with his devotees. That's Krishna's interest. All the activities of the spiritual world are going on this principle of loving devotional service to the Lord. In the material world, everything goes on for some motive. Prabhupada used to mention, this day our daily bread. That means we're especially interested in bread. Prabhupada said, this is not love of God, this is love of bread. And for so many, in so many ways, we're praying to God, oh God, this. We have our list of things that we want, our demands. In Africa, it becomes very pronounced, so that people start a church and they attract people by advertising that you take to this religion and you'll get rich. God will shower you with all sorts of material things for your prosperity and enjoyment. And so people are attracted. Oh, I can become rich. It means they're not as much attracted to serving God. Artha artha arti jigyasu gyani cha. Therefore, just Dhruva Maharaj was in that category. He also was more interested in getting a kingdom. That was his reason for approaching God. Sometimes out of distress, Gajendra approached Krishna out of distress. He was an elephant being attacked by a crocodile in the water. He approached Krishna in distress. And the sages of Naimisharanya were inquisitive, so they approached to satisfy their inquisitiveness. And the Kumaras were gyanis. They were looking for knowledge. But generally, people approach Krishna, God, for some reason. But in the spiritual world, there's no reason. Ahaitaki bhakti. Devotional service without any motivation, any ulterior motive. Krishna's the master, I'm his servant, my interest lies in pleasing Krishna. That's all. The whole spiritual world, whether the relationship is servitude, friendship, parental love, conjugal love, actually all the relationships are different forms of service. The basic principle of all these relationships is the spirit of selfless service to the Lord. The devotee wants to please Krishna. The devotee wants to satisfy Krishna. That's all. That's called selfless service. So the Lord is attracted by that service, and he also reciprocates with the devotees. As the devotees take pleasure in serving the Lord takes pleasure in serving his devotees. The Krishna took the charioteer's role at Kurukshetra. Charioteer means Shudra, actually. That Karna was excluded from the contest at the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi. Because Draupadi said, who is he? Is he a king? I'm a princess. That means that to get me, you have to be a Kshatriya. So who is this man? So then it was disclosed that he's the son of a Suta, charioteer. So a charioteer is basically a driver, you know, like the person who drives your car. That's not a high-paid position. That's not a chivalrous position. You can imagine someone wants the hand of a princess. She says, who are you? He says, I'm a taxi driver. A taxi driver is an ordinary worker, that's all. Not fit for a princess. So to be the charioteer is the Shudra's position, not the Kshatriya. The Kshatriya is the man on the chariot, and the driver is a Shudra. But Krishna, out of affection for his devotee, Arjuna, took the position of charioteer. And Ratam Sthapya Mejuta. Arjuna is ordering Krishna, my dear Krishna, please place the chariot here between the armies. And Krishna's accepting, yes, sir. He's carrying out that service. Out of love, he becomes subservient to his devotee. Prabhupada gives the example that there was some gentleman who went to visit the Prime Minister of England, Mr. Gladstone. And he had an appointment, and he went there, but he was kept waiting for a long time in the reception room. And he could understand that the Prime Minister must be in his office, but he's not coming. What's going on? So the door was open, a little crack. Finally, he peeked in, and he saw that Mr. Gladstone was on his hands and knees, and his little son or grandson was riding on his back, as one rides a horse. So the Prime Minister of England, everyone has to offer him respect, but the child is riding on his back, and the Prime Minister is enjoying serving as the horse for the child. So in a similar way, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mata parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Krishna says, there's no one superior to me. Mayi sarvamidam protam sutre maniganaiva. Everything in this, everything that exists rests on me, the way pearls rest on a thread. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. I'm the origin of everything. And yet, that origin of everything, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, is serving as the charioteer for a pure devotee like Arjuna. This is Krishna's enjoyment. It's not that he was stuck, but he enjoys rendering service to the devotee. It's not, he doesn't consider that this is a lower position to be a charioteer. He considers it a very fortunate position, position of serving the devotee. Similarly, the devotee considers any position in the service of the Lord to be fortunate. He doesn't think, I have to be the temple president, or I have to be the Sankirtan leader, or I have to be GBC man, or I have to be this or that. He just wants to be engaged in the service of Krishna. If I can clean Krishna's temple, that will be nice. If I can have any service to please Krishna, that will be nice. Somehow or other, let me always be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kama. I don't want money or followers or beautiful wife. I don't want liberation. I just want to serve you. That's all. That's the desire of the devotee. Let me serve, let me serve, let me serve, let me serve. And Krishna becomes attracted by that spirit of devotional service. Because that devotional service is the Lord's internal energy. And the quality of the internal energy of the Lord is that it attracts even Krishna. So Krishna becomes attracted, bhaktya, by devotional service. Not by karma, not by jnana, not by wealth, not by rituals. Bhaktya. Therefore, our process is to try to chant sincerely with devotion for Krishna and be always engaged in his service. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? Yes.
Right there. When we attended the management course in Mayapur, we're informed that management is in contamination.
Management is?
Management itself is in contamination.
Management itself is a contamination?
So, that means that
management is not a contamination. Forgetfulness of Krishna is contamination.
The management is not contamination.
No. Management is not contamination, but forgetting Krishna is contamination.
They give example that when one is in a position of management, then one started to see himself like Krishna.
That's the problem. Therefore, management is not contamination, but forgetfulness of Krishna is contamination. As soon as one thinks, I'm the manager, and forgets Krishna, then he's contaminated. But as long as he thinks that I'm a servant of Krishna, and my service is to manage, then it's not contaminated. But the tendency is to become.
The senior devotees and the sannyasis, when they are advancing, they remove themselves from management.
Why do sannyasis remove themselves from management? Sannyasis are supposed to have a clear mind for philosophy and so on. And management means to get all caught up in other sorts of things. So it's a different kind of service. But a sannyasi can also manage for Krishna's service. Sannyasi can also manage. Sannyasi can also cook. Sannyasi can also clean. Sannyasi can also do anything for Krishna's service. But generally, the management is not the business of the sannyasis. But he can do it.
Someone who connect to initiation, do they have any mature activities like marriage? If initiation can connect it to marriage, can connect it to mature activities. Is it possible or not?
You're about half as loud as you need to be for me to hear what you said. What did he say?
What do you mean? I want to say, did initiation have anything mature like marriage?
Wait a second. Wait. I'm still only getting part. Something about initiation. That's as much as I heard.
I want to know what is initiation.
You want to know what initiation is? Initiation means establishing the relationship between spiritual master and disciple. The spiritual master accepts responsibility for bringing the disciple back to Godhead, and the disciple accepts the spiritual master as the representative of God.
That is initiation. Who doesn't have any material connection?
Can you tell me what he's saying?
What he wanted to ask is that when the spiritual master initiates the disciple, does he also help him materially or is it spiritually?
Materially?
Does he have any connection with the material aspect of the person's life also?
When his life is engaged in Krishna service, it becomes spiritual. That's the business of the spiritual master, to see that the disciple is engaged in Krishna service. It's not his spiritual master's business to advise the disciple about his business affairs or about his marital problems. Or this or that. The job is how to enlighten the disciple so that the disciple can go back to God.
Alright. if one is being initiated by a spiritual master, and the spiritual master gives such a person the four rules and regulations to follow, and the disciple fails to follow all the rules and regulations, the four rules and regulations, then due to that, the person falls down from his relationship with the guru. What happens later? What happens later between the guru?
What happens later?
Between the guru and the disciple. When the disciple falls out of the rules and the principles and the chantings. And the
Not very much happens because the disciple has disconnected himself. As long as, just like school. If you drop out, what happens between you and the teacher? Not a whole lot. As long as you're enrolled and seriously trying to make progress, if you have difficulty, the teacher helps you. But if you just stop coming, or you stop the whole program, and what will the teacher do for you? It's not that we say that the business of the teacher is to teach you English and your business is to do whatever you like. If you want to learn English, then you have to study English. You have to follow the directions of the teacher, do the homework, and so on. Not that you say, well, your business is to teach me English. I don't learn English, it's your fault. If the spiritual if the disciple wants to get the benefit of the mercy of the spiritual master, then the disciple should follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Something else? Yes?
What happens to the disciple when his guru is not on the planet again?
What happens to the disciple? As long as he continues to follow, he continues to get the mercy of the spiritual master. It doesn't depend on physical presence. Anything else? Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.